This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Friday, August 22nd, brought to you by Watkins & Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nelly. Here's today's headlines. Trade agreement mostly garners praise from ag. Ag groups seek money for roads and bridges. And Johnson on year-round E15 prospects. USDA unions demand data behind reorganization. Union locals representing USDA employees are calling on the Trump administration to release a cost-benefit analysis behind the department's reorganization plan. In a letter to Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins, the unions also are seeking the rationale behind choosing the five hubs where employees are being consolidated. Among the questions the unions are posing to the department, how were the hub locations selected? Were other locations considered? Was the cost of this move weighed against alternative uses of funds, such as expanding crop insurance, supporting disaster recovery, or investing in commodity research? Did the department factor in the cost to the taxpayer of worsened services and decreased oversight resulting from staff losses? Without answers, this reorganization appears arbitrary and politically motivated. The unions also ask USDA to commit to releasing the public comments it has received on the plan. Meanwhile, a group of Northeast Democrats complaining to Rollins about the impact of the reorganization on their region. In a letter, the lawmakers ask, how will farmers in the Northeast be better served by staff hundreds, if not thousands, of miles away? What kind of expertise do staff stationed in the South or West have with the farming practices of farmers in the Northeast? The letter signers include Connecticut Representative Rosa DeLauro, the top Democrat on the House Appropriations Committee. U.S.-EU trade announcement cheered mostly by food and ag. U.S. ag groups are largely welcoming the trade agreement framework released by the United States and European Union, seeing it as a needed step toward gaining more access to the 27-nation market. The U.S. has been a net importer of red meat from the EU due to the vast barriers the EU imposes on imports, and addressing the EU's tariff and non-tariff barriers is absolutely essential for U.S. export growth, U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom said in a statement. He said he was glad to see a commitment in the framework to look at ways to minimize impacts of the EU's deforestation regulation on U.S. industries. The Corn Refiners Association also applauded the framework, which the EU Trade Commissioner called, quote, the first step in the negotiating process. CRA's president and CEO John Bode echoed Hallstrom's praise for the framework's commitment to look at non-tariff barriers to trade in ag and food products. The Trump administration's prioritization of expanding market access for American agriculture is a welcome development, especially in important markets like the EU, Bode says in a statement. More to do. The devil, as they say, will be in the details, and more meetings and negotiation must take place to fill the blanks. However, one provision in the framework that could benefit U.S. consumers specifies that of September 1, the U.S. will only apply the most favored nation tariff rate to, quote, unavailable natural resources, including pork. AgriPulse has reported previously that the U.S. was considering tariff exemptions for goods such as coffee and cocoa, which the U.S. cannot supply on its own. Take note, Distilled Spirits Council of the U.S. President and CEO Chris Swanger says in a statement, we are disappointed that this joint statement did not include permanent tariff-free trade for distilled spirits on both sides of the Atlantic. Without zero-for-zero tariffs, American distillers do not have the certainty to plan for future export and job growth without the fear of retaliatory tariffs returning, Swanger said. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top-quality legal services that achieve cost-effective results.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Ag sector likes focus on non-tariff trade barriers. The U.S. ag sector is encouraged that the Trump administration is prioritizing agriculture and non-tariff trade barriers and negotiations with trading partners. At the word of Ted McKinney, CEO of the National Association State Departments of Agriculture. But McKinney says in an interview with AgriPulse Newsmakers that the farmers are, quote, getting into crunch time as tariffs depress exports and producers could need some kind of federal compensation. Most of us are hitting our knees at night twice, praying for results with the different countries to start buying, China probably being the leader there, McKinney said. Keep in mind, the American Soybean Association publicly appealed to President Donald Trump this week to close a trade deal with China, noting that there are currently no Chinese orders for this fall's crop. This week's edition of Newsmakers will be available today at AgriPulse.com. Ag groups seek federal highway funds to bolster rural roads and bridges. 60 agriculture groups want to see $1.5 billion in federal highway funds to rural roads and bridges that otherwise rely on county and state funding. In a letter, the groups urged leaders of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee to use existing highway formula funds to bolster rural bridges to eliminate posted weight limits or improve roads to provide last-mile access to farms. The groups pointed to Transportation Department estimates indicating 80% of the nation's weight-restricted bridges are on local roadways. They also said the Agriculture Department has found that the first and last miles of an agriculture truck trip are, quote, the costliest part of the journey for a farmer or farm-focused business due to delays and less direct routes. The groups include the American Farm Bureau Federation, the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, the National Grain and Feed Association. Lawmaker optimistic about year-round E15 odds. Representative Dusty Johnson of South Dakota puts the odds of getting year-round E15 passed sometime this year at 70%, though he's unsure what legislative vehicle might be used to do so. I think we're going to get it done this year. I feel really good about it, Johnson said during a panel discussion at the American Coalition for Ethanol's annual conference in Sioux Falls, South Dakota yesterday. Johnson said he sees Congress' year-end spending bill as a possible vehicle, though he said there's also an effort in the Senate to include it in the annual defense bill. Take note, a provision to authorized year-round sales of E15 was included in a version of last year's stopgap funding bill, but it was removed following concerns from Elon Musk and GOP leaders about the legislation size. Here's today's final word. This is not the end. It's the beginning. This framework is the first step, one that can grow over time to cover more sectors, improve market access, and strengthen our economic ties even further. That's the word of Maroš Šefčovič, a European Commissioner for Trade, discussing the U.S.-EU framework released yesterday. Well, that's Daybreak for this Friday, August 22nd, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Dowling.